Future Rich, and I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm a CFP, which stands for a Certified Financial Planner, and I am here with my guest, Monique. Hi, Monique.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How old are you? Where do you live? What do you do? What do you make? All the nitty gritty.
Okay. So I'm 32. I live in Philadelphia, and I'm a nurse practitioner. I just started this job a couple months ago. My annual salary is $120,000.
Oh, that's great.
And then, thank you. And then, you know, after the fun taxes of Philly, I bring in $3,000 biweekly.
Biweekly, okay. Very nice. And now, do you have student loans from school?
Yes, I do. I've chipped away a good amount at my undergraduate.
Okay.
I have about, $19,000 left, from like almost 40. And then I have $19,000 from my graduate degree at an Ivy League institution.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So you have about...
Not fun.
Yeah. Okay. So you have just under 40,000 total.
Yes.
So what stresses you out about your finances the most?
So my main stressor right now is the credit card debt that I've established from my time in graduate school.
Okay. Now, when did you graduate from school?
I graduated last year, so August.
Okay, so you've been out of school a little over a year.
Yes.
Okay. How much do you have on the credit cards? How much do you have on the credit cards?
So I have two. One is $7,000, the other is $4,000, so $11,000.
Okay, and you were just using them for like expenses in when you were in the grad program?
Yes, I didn't really let my quality of life change as I should have.
Kept it all the same.
Kept it all the same. Went away on vacation for 2 weeks.
Lived your best life.
Living my best life in grad school, exactly. and then also threw in a move during that time. My first time living alone. It was just a nice little tornado of debt.
Tornado of debt. I haven't heard that one before. I like that description. So let me ask you, what were you making before you went back to grad school?
So this is probably around 80.
Okay.
And then I would pick up overtime. So like a couple of years, I almost made it to 100.
Okay. But so you have a pretty big salary jump now compared to where you were before.
Yes. And I was hoping that would have saved me, but, it appears I'm still living a finer life than one can.
than one can afford. Well, yeah. And I think maybe, cause it's hard when you're making 80,000, if you go back to school, it's a very, and you're now living on credit, right? Because it's either student loans or credit cards. So if you kept your lifestyle the same, I could see how that, you could accrue some credit card debt with that. Because you weren't working during grad school, right?
Oh, no, I actually was.
Oh, you worked through grad school too?
I did, yes.
What kind of vacations are you taking?
I know. I'm very, very good at... arranging my schedule to accommodate for what I'd like to do. It doesn't really totally make sense to me that I have what I have, but I feel like I need to do something to get on top of it because I don't want this to be.
Yeah, no, because I would say I think the idea to go back to grad school to increase your income, your income by approximately 40,000, like if you weren't considering the overtime that you're working, is fantastic.
Yeah.
So to have 40,000 in student loan debt, but increase your salary by that amount, you could, in theory pay that off in a couple years. I mean, the one thing to remember is the increase in salary is an after tax, right? So,
right.
You pay your debt with 40,000 with after tax. So the 40,000 gross isn't going to net out to be 40,000 in a tax year. But let's talk about your budget. Cause I think probably where it's hard to figure out what's happening is do you have a good handle on what's coming? I mean, you know what's coming in, right? You have the $3,000 biweekly. Do you know where all your money is going?
So I sort of, like before I reached out to you to, you know, help me here. I looked through and I was like, what's going on? And it looks like I'm like spending like $1,300 a month on Lord only knows what.
Oh, Uber, like mystery. Okay.
Going out, Anthropology sales, like just, it doesn't seem like I think I sort of need a budget. And I think part of the problem is like coming out of school, I was making a good salary.
Yep.
So I just sort of never had to worry about.
Did you kind of figure it'll just like work itself out? Did you kind of think maybe it'll just like work itself out?
I guess so.
Okay, so
I guess that was just waiting to see what would happen here.
So let's figure this out. So what are you paying? Are you renting or do you own?
So I'm renting.
Okay. So what do you pay for rent?
So my rent is $1,650 and then plus utilities, which are usually around like $20 to $50 more. So roughly like anywhere from like $1,670 to $1,700.
Okay.
And that's just like water, electric, gas.
Okay. So let's just call rent and utility $1,700.
Okay.
And then what do you have? What's your student loan payment between all your loans?
So like the minimum per month is $626.
Okay. And what are you paying a month?
$626.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's end. Okay. So then what about the credit cards?
So, that per month, I'll like sometimes I've paid before like $1,000 on it before a month. Okay. You know what I mean? So it sort of waxes and wanes of what I'll contribute. Probably on average, I'm probably doing somewhere between $500 to $700 to just try to chop away at it.
Okay, good. And so that's above your minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. And are there any other like big? Obviously, you have food. Do you have a cell phone, or are you on your parents?
I got the boot from the parents.
Oh, you're like my first person, I think.
Really?
Well, I pay for my family plan, which is like the antithesis of a millennial here, that I actually pay for my parents and they don't pay for me. So I think we don't have that many people that are on their own. There's a lot of people that are on the family plan still.
I mean, I called my mom after I switched and I was like, oh, did you notice the difference in your bill? She said, no, I didn't even know that you left. I was like, this is fantastic. Like, thank you for giving me the boot. So I did, like, with the spend, like, the kind of necessities of life, I guess. I pay an exorbitant amount on cable.
Oh, really?
It's $170 a month.
Whoa. Is that for cable and internet?
I think that's bad. Cable, internet, and phone. Because it's just like a triple play.
Okay. So triple play. And what about your cell phone?
Oh, that's $96.
Okay. And do you have a car?
I don't have a car.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Are there any other, like, big ticket items for your monthly expenses?
No.
Because your health insurance is through work, right?
Yes, it is. I do actually have a nice amount in my Vanguard. That's probably the only thing going for me right now.
Now, I don't know if you work for a hospital. Do you have a 401k or a 403b?
A 401k.
You have a 401k. And how much do you have? Is that in Vanguard?
Yes.
And how much do you have in there?
And that I have $111,000 in.
That's fantastic. Did you switch companies from before you went to grad school?
No, I've been in the same hospital since.
Okay, perfect.
I graduated from undergrad.
Now, are they giving you a contribution? Do they match what you put in or give you a percentage?
So, like prior to our call, I did a little calculation. It looks like I'm contributing 8%.
Okay.
Biweekly, so it's around like $240.
Okay.
And then they match, and it looks like it says on my, because you know, just checking policies before the call.
Doing some homework.
Doing some work, that they do a dollar-to-dollar match up to 5%.
Fantastic. Okay, good. So that gets your actual contribution then up to 13%, because you can count what they put in for you.
Yeah. However, in my the last couple of subs that I checked at, they're only giving me $120, which I don't think that's 5%. So might have to call HR.
You could call HR and verify it. But yeah, they should do $1 up to 5% of your salary, if that is what it is. But you can always call HR and verify what it is and how it works.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's a dollar for dollar match, and other times it's a calculation where you actually would have to contribute, you know, it's like 50 cents on the dollar. So you'd have to contribute 10% to get up to 5 because they match you 50 cents. Okay. Yeah. So it's not always as straightforward as it should be. So it's good to check with them to find out, because you want to make sure that you get all of that free money. Because as you can see, since you've been working there since college, it really adds up pretty quickly.
Totally. Yes.
So I think that's fantastic you're doing it. Now, do you have any other savings? Do you have, like, an emergency fund, maybe?
So I did, but that also went away during grad school, so I've picked that.
It got hit by the tornado?
Everything got hit by that tornado.
Except for the 401k.
Except for my fund.
Okay, good.
My fund and my 401k, they stayed, you know, intact. So
you never want to touch the 401k.
Yes. That is one thing that I've listened to my father about.
Okay, good. That was good. That was good advice.
While we want to, we cannot.
Yeah, no, never touch that. Obviously, I'm sure there are some people that are going to have a really unfortunate situation where it's, you know, be homeless or take your 401k, obviously. But no, definitely not for, like, a vacation or shopping or anything that, you know, other than basic survival. I don't think you should be touching a 401k.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so just because you can't get back that time value of money. So the dollars that you put in at 22 have grown for 10 years. If you take it out, you don't get that 10 years back. You can't go back and act as if you're contributing as a 22-year-old if you're now 42.
Right.
You need so much more money.
Yeah.
So it's really important to always let that keep continuing to grow. So I think the trick here, which... everyone hates the word budgeting. It's like such a dirty word. But I think you have really good income and your debt isn't disproportional, meaning that you don't have income of, you know, let's say $100,000 and debt of $300,000, right? So you can support the amount of debt that you have. And I think we can get it tackled in like a fairly reasonable amount of time. The only hard part is it is going to require work on your part with budgeting. And making some decisions, it's going to be more about you making decisions, I think is what it's going to come down to, because obviously you can continue doing what you're doing, but
it's not working.
It's not working, right? You're not getting anywhere. Because we should be able to get you to the point where you have a really good emergency fund. We can even get you to put a little bit more into the Vanguard account, and you still will have money for a vacation and to do the things you want. But I just don't think you can do everything you want all the time.
Right. And that's what I'm doing.
Because, like, I love Uber, too, trust me, and, like, I'm about to put myself on a diet. Like, I'll have my sister interview me, but I'm about to go on a diet because I'm spending way too much money on Uber. And I would much rather take a vacation. Like, when you add it up, like, if you think about what you're spending monthly on some of those things, like, you could have a really great vacation or another really great vacation, because I know you're probably already taking one.
Yeah.
And you could do it with getting rid of the debt.
Okay.
Because because your income's really good even after you contribute. Because I'm just trying to see here, because with your rent of $1,700, and we'll just say, if we get rid of your debt payments and just figure that part out separately, your actual living expenses, what you need for like the basics, so you have $1,700 for rent, and then even $170 with the cable, and we'll just say it rounds up to $100, you're at $1,970, so about $2,000. And if we just say $1,000 for food, you should have $3,000 left in your budget.
Right.
For everything else.
Right.
Right. So that if you think about that, if you were really, really strict for 4 months and save $3,000 a month, you would totally wipe out the credit card debt and have $1,000 to spare in 4 months.
Wow. I feel like it's possible. I just need to.
You just need to put together. Yeah, you need to put together a budget. And I think there's a few ways. I have a feeling that besides the transportation, you're probably spending a lot of money on entertainment or, like, going out to eat or ordering in. Does that sound accurate? Or eating out?
Going out to eat, entertainment, and I also enjoy a nice blowout every now and when.
Okay. Again. So. Hey, I don't blame you.
Stylist next to my building.
Yeah.
She's doing well with...
She did well with your raise, too, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think for you, so I am an extreme person, so this might not be how it works for you. So, like, I'm the type of person would rather buckle down for 60 days and, like, knock it all out.
I am that way as well.
You are that way as well. Okay. Because some people are rather, like, to be a little bit more of the, like, I think my sister's more of a middle-of-the-road person. Like, she'd rather set aside, I don't know, like, $1,000 a month and be done with it in a year. And I'd rather just, like, eat peanut butter and jelly and just be done with it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So then I would say I would put yourself on a budget. So all of your basics. So maybe not do, you don't have to do 3,000, but if you did, even if you did 2,000 to 2,500 a month, you tried to save. And so you can still, you're still going to include whatever your, shoot for 2,000 for just the credit cards, because you still have to make your student loan payment, right? So if you do $2,000 a month for your credit cards, you can get it done in about 5 months, probably a little less, like 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah, and then that's, if you think about it, then when you get done with it from there, then if we drop it down that you're saving $1,000 a month to make principal payments on your student loans, you can knock those out in probably 2 to 3 years and be done.
That's awesome.
So you could be totally debt-free making that type of money with an even bigger 401k by 35.
That would be delightful.
Yeah, and then you can, you'll be, the thing is, if you can get the concept down that you're saving money on a regular basis besides your 401k, but also for yourself, is buying a house a goal of yours?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to be able to at least, like, have that to be as an saving option towards, you know, like, because at this point right now, I feel like I don't have anything to show for all of the hard work that I just did, this great job that I have. And yeah, I just feel like I have to change my habits or it's not going to
The key for you is you're putting all the time in, right? You went to grad, you did everything right. You have a really good paying job. You have the graduate degree. So it's great to be able to do whatever you want because you're single, you said, right?
Yes.
So you can do whatever you want, right? If you want to get the go to Dry Bar, totally. You can go to Dry Bar. If you want to take an Uber, you can go to Uber. If you want to eat out every meal all week, you can. You can get by and do that. But I think it would feel really good if at the end of it, you're like, oh, well, I have $15,000 saved. I'm working towards buying my own property.
Right.
Or whatever it is that your goal is. But as you said, the key is getting this habit down where when the money comes in, you have it. You decide, and it's a proactive decision for you, what amount is going to be allocated where. And if you go over, you go over, right? I mean, that's fine. But first, you know, tackle the credit cards, then tackle the student loans. But at that point, you're going to be in the habit of when you get your paychecks, you automatically throw, you know, every 2 weeks, $500 into a savings account for one of your goals. So that, like you said, in 5 years, you have something more to show for it than just the 401k. Is your question, how do you do it?
Yes.
Okay. I think the problem is I think on the podcast I haven't done a great job explaining how to figure out the budget because it's something I've always done. So what you want to do is we know that we have $3,000 every 2 weeks coming in. So that means when you get your direct deposit of $3,000, the first one you usually pay rent with, right?
Right.
Okay, so you're going to pay rent and your regular expenses. So that works out to be, we had already talked about $2,000. So you only have $1,000 left for that first 2 weeks. So you can do it one of two ways. You can say, okay, so I have 2 weeks left till my next paycheck. I'm going to use $250 or $300 a week for food. And then do you have to pay all your bills? Does your student loans and credit card all come out that first paycheck and then you have to wait till your next one?
The first one is really just rent, my cell phone.
It is,
and,
okay.
Yeah, it's really actually not that heavy. The student loans are more in the second one.
Okay, perfect. So that actually works out well budget-wise. So you're going to get the first one, and you're going to, right off the bat, you lose $2,000, right, with your utilities and your rent. So you have $1,000 left over. So if you have 2 weeks, then, you know, I think to get started, I would say you get $250 or $300 to live on that for food, which is, so that's going to be a big difference for you, right? So you're going to have to, like, figure out what your meal plan is, how much you're spending a day. And I really like doing $0 days. Yeah. So if you, and this is going to take work, right? So if you're used to not having to plan out your meals or what you're going to be doing, because you're just going to go buy lunch when you get hungry or go get a coffee, it's going to take some planning on your part to say, okay, I'm only spending $250 this week on food. So how am I going to do that? Like, what am I eating? Where am I getting it from? Am I doing it on Sunday? Or if you work long shifts, then maybe you do it in the middle of the week, because that's when you're off. And plan. I think that would be the best way, is having a plan in place. And I would start with doing it a week at a time and seeing how it goes. And then you're going to have to adjust.
Big time. Yeah.
And don't, it's like anything else, like this is, I'm going to agree, this is an extreme thing. This is like, some people would just say, I'm going to on Fridays not go out and save $100 there. But I think that you could try it this way and see how it goes. And if you can, if you decide it's too much, too extreme, you can always go to a more middle of the ground approach and say, I'm just not going out every other weekend and saving that money.
Right.
But I would try it this way and put yourself on a strict budget. Because you start, when you first started out after college, you weren't probably making $80,000, were you?
No, it was like $50,000 to $60,000.
Okay, so you can live on less. You've done it before.
Yes, 100%.
It's just hard going down. It's much easier to move up the ladder than it is to move down the ladder.
Agreed.
So I would come
up. It's hard being like a single income.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. It's like.
Well, because the thing is, then if you go.
Time to do it.
Yeah, well, you have to make the time to do it. And then if you go and do it, this is, I think, the downside, is you go and buy the food, and then it's like, well, I guess I'm eating this every single day. Right?
Because and that's fine. Right.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's totally going to be temporary.
Yeah.
But this will be an easy way to save money. And give it a go and figure it out. Like, I know I did this, and this sounds so extreme, but I didn't want to make my own food for lunch. And so, what I used to do is split a Subway sandwich, the $5 footlong, so it was $2.50 a day.
Oh, okay.
For lunch. So, like, that's actually really not a bad deal for lunch, $2.50.
No, it's not.
And it wasn't overly high calories, because I was also worried about that. So, for me, if I had oatmeal at home, and then, you know, I brought home from home snacks, and then if I spent $2.50 on lunch, to me, that was, like, still within my budget, and I didn't have to meal prep.
Right.
So you can do stuff like that.
Okay.
So if you know kind of what your budget is for the week.
Figure out what works.
Yeah, figure out what works for you. You don't have to make a homemade meal, but you can go to Subway and then get a foot long and split it, and there's $2.50.
Right.
But it's just knowing what your budget is in your head is and how much you're going to be spending and where you want to spend it.
And I guess, like, the also part of it is I don't even have a grasp of, like, what am I spending on Ubers each month? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where. So is there, like, should I go through, like, all of my bank statements and, like, sort of see where it's going?
So, yeah.
Or just now make a conscious effort to change?
You can do either. If it's interesting to you to see where you're losing the majority of the money, you can. Because if you're losing more of it, because I don't know, in the hospital they have a cafeteria where you get, like, a discount on food. Because then maybe you're not losing as much to food as you think you are. I would look.
Yeah, I think it's more Ubers and, going out and getting my hair done.
Okay.
Then probably anything else.
So then what I would do is, do you take Ubers back and forth to work?
If I wake up too late, yeah.
Okay. So then I would make the plan be like only taking an Uber if it's an emergency. Obviously you don't want to lose your job, but make a conscious effort to take public transportation to work.
Yeah. And get a new hair dryer.
And buy a hair dryer. Or just, like, for a month, you're just going to wear your hair. And, you know, for a few months, you're just not going to do it. You're just going to blow dry it yourself and put it in a bun or whatever.
Right.
Because the thing is, you have to remember, is once we free it up and you tackle that credit card debt, that money is now back in your budget.
Right.
And you can use it. And if you prepay principal on the student loans, you'll tackle them faster. And it's key that you make principal only payments on the student loans, not just send them extra money, because it won't make a difference. So before you go to do that, we should check in after you get the credit cards paid off.
Okay.
But I would sit down and figure that, you know, I would spend about $250 a week on food and transportation. So, because with public transportation, you'd be able to do that pretty affordable. But that's going to be no dry bars, very limited Ubers.
Yeah.
and going out. Like, have people over to your... This sounds so lame, but have people over instead of going out. Or drink, you know, we both went to college, like, drink before you go out.
Exactly.
Or bring a water bottle. Like, be shameless for a few months and get rid of your credit card debt.
It will be worth it.
It's going to be worth it.
Yes, it will absolutely be worth it.
Like, I've totally done it, and it's not fun. It's not ideal. Like, I've met friends for dinner where I'm like, oh, I already ate. I'm just going to have water. And, like, you won't have that many friends if you do that for, like, years. But, like, if you do that for a few months and just say, hey, I'm, like, working on some financial stuff. Like, I'm just not eating. I'm not going to be eating out. It's fine.
Right. That's true. With tackling the cards with the saving, like the $2,000 a month, like should I put $1,000 to each card?
So I was just going to ask you, I would say, is your $7,000 card the higher interest one?
So they're both, it's 16.9 and 16.7.
Oh, they're about the same. So you know what I would do so that you see the benefit of this first is I would get rid of the $4,000 one because you'll do it in like a little over 2 months.
Okay. And then that would just be like, you know, ammunition for...
Then you're done. Yeah.
Finishing the rest.
Yeah, exactly. Because you'll get the reward of being like, wow, I just paid off a whole credit card in that amount of time.
Yeah. And then I feel like I don't want to ever see a credit card again the rest of my life.
Well, so then I think the key, so once you get rid of both the credit cards, besides making the principal payment on the student loans, we should add some money to just a regular bank account so that if there is a bad month and you go over or whatever happens that you have a little bit of a slush fund to cover it so it doesn't go on a credit card. Because as you're seeing, it's hard to get rid of them once you have them.
Right. Totally.
But does the budgeting part make sense? Because I feel like this is a part that a lot of people struggle with. And I think the key to it is really sitting down and figuring out what you can spend of what's coming in. And you can allocate how you want it spent, but just saying, okay, if I have $6,000 a month that's coming in and I have $3,000 a month for my student loan payments and my rent and my regular minimum payment on my credit card, I have $3,000 left for the month to work with. I'm only going to spend $1,000 of that for my food, transportation, and entertainment. So however you want to divvy that up.
It was very shocking, honestly, when I wrote it all out. And I thought that I was, that like the fundamental things were costing more than they were. So it was just very eye-opening to see how much I actually had left over in a month, and I was just like, where is this going?
What's happening? Who's coming in and taking this? Just leaving my account.
Stealing my wallet.
Yeah, you have very good numbers where you are going to be, because you have low rent and your student loan payments are not absorbent. So the fact that your basic bills are more than covered in 2 weeks of your pay is fantastic.
Yeah. So, and I agree, like, it seems like on paper, it's like, this should be
easy.
Sorted.
I'm sure you deal with much more difficult things at work, right?
100%. So, like, this should be, you know, handled. So I felt like I needed to get someone else's input of, you know, I mean, to me, this is very, very, very bad. But I'm glad that it's something that's, like, you know, could be managed if I just change my habits and focus more on the end goal.
Well, I think the problem is with money is it just happens to you, right? So until you realize there's a problem, nobody is sick. So you work in the healthcare industry. So when your arm is bleeding or you have a migraine or you're sick, you have to handle it at that time, right? Or most people do, right? So then they get better.
Right.
The thing with your personal finances is there's no real, until it gets bad where you're like, oh wow, this feels really bad. I have this credit card, a student loan, I feel overwhelmed. You kind of just go about your life, right? Everything's getting paid and it's very common to not stop and sit back and be like, wow, I'm working this hard. Is my money working for me and helping me get to where I want to be? Because like you said, you don't want to wake up and be 40 and have had this great income and you have a 401k, which is fantastic, but you know, there's a lot you could
more.
Yeah, you should have, you can have more. If it's a great European vacation every year and to buy a home and to have more money saved. So if you decide you want to take a year off, you know, there's a lot you can do. You have a really reasonable amount of expenses. You know, the rent is key, really. The fact that it's such a small percentage of your take home pay.
Yes, I am due for seeing what they're going to charge me in February. So I'm interested to see if they're going to go up anymore, you know, like where that's going to go. Because I don't really know that I feel like making a move right now. I think it makes a little more sense to stay put and tackle this than to...
I would say absolutely. If you're committed to it, I think that's the key to getting this squared away, and you can get the first credit card paid off. That I would focus on that, and then get the second one tackled, and you know, play it by ear, see how it goes with the budget. Maybe $250 a week isn't going to work because with your schedule it's too hectic and you really need $300 or $350. So see how it goes. But I think now that you know that you are in control of this, and it's by giving yourself, okay, on Fridays I take Ubers, I'm going to make that sacrifice, and it's going to take me 6 months to pay off the credit card, but I'm okay with that, because then once I get that done in 6 months, and this is my next goal. You're 100% control of your money.
Right.
Once you know where it's going and what you're spending on things, that's when you get to make the decision.
That's true. I feel like I'm almost going to have to honestly take out $250 in cash. I feel another issue is with my debit card that I'm just like, wow, that added up very quickly.
Yeah, it's totally habit. So if you think $250 and putting that in cash and then having that with you and maybe not taking your debit card with you for the day and seeing how that goes, that would be a good way to change your mindset. Because, so what I try and do is I try and use $0 days during the middle of the week. Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And those are the days I work the longer hours. I just try not to go out and buy anything and just bring what I have to work for food, make coffee at work. And so when you think about having a $0 day, and then this weekend it was really bad weather and I took two Ubers, and then the pricing for those two Ubers, I was like, oh Lord, that was so expensive compared to $0. You know, and I hadn't even eaten anything at that point, you know, like I didn't have any food. So
yeah,
when you start thinking about what you're spending on a daily basis too, that's another thing that I would challenge you to do, is like, how much are you spending in the day? So if you start your day, if you're trying to do a $0 day and you take an Uber and you start out at 20, you're like, whoa, I'm really far off.
Right.
Because like you haven't had anything to eat yet.
And it's just been using a car to get to work or wherever. Yes. You're
going. So that's why I also think it's good to figure out like, so the $250 is a weekly, then break it down to like kind of where you want to be daily. And then I would challenge you to try and have a couple $0 days in the middle of the week. And that will really help the rest of the week.
I feel like when I work, it's usually $0 days unless, you know, the group orders lunch or, because I mean, with my job, I work while eating. So, I mean,
You don't take a break. Yes.
So it could be pretty common that I'm really not spending anything, you know what I mean, during the day at work. But then there are days where that's not the case. So.
Yeah, and even if you take the first week as like, let me see how this goes, like, because if you've never monitored it, it's going to be eye-opening.
Yeah.
To see where you're spending your money and what and where you're making the choices to spend the money, right?
Right.
Because you don't have to cut everything out, but this you're choosing to cut things out to get rid of the credit card. So how much are you willing to give up to get rid of that?
Right. I think it's obviously completely necessary, and I'm just happy that, you know what I mean, I sort of have an idea of what to do, because it felt very overwhelming to see on paper and just didn't really know where to go next.
Yeah, and I think you should be excited about it, because I think once you change your mindset and form the habit of saving, like, and this is extreme stuff, but you'll read stories about people who did this. If you really decide it once you cut out your debt that you want it to save for a down payment, I think it would be within your, you know, purview to be able to save, even if we said like $2,500 a month, you could save like almost $30,000 in a year.
That's
insane, right?
What do you think? Insane. It's totally insane to think of it like that.
That's the way I would look at it. Like, think about what you could do if you save that amount of money.
Right.
And that would be with, if you were saving $2,500 a month, you would have $30,000 at the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So if you did that, so if you really wanted to buy a place, if you did that for a couple years, you could, you know, in 2 years have $60,000 saved, and in 3 years have almost $100,000.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot of money.
So I think for you, the key not only is getting the credit cards paid off, but learning the habit of you're in control of your money and you're in control of where your money is going. And is it serving you the way you want it to?
Right. Right.
Because you're going to look at everything.
And it has been out of control. So this is going to be, you know, I think this is going to be great. And I am excited to, you know, get a tackle on it and be in control of it.
Yeah, and then be easy on yourself, right? Because if you haven't been on a budget and you haven't been doing this, it's things are going to happen that are going to be outside of what your ideal goal is. But if you can form these habits now, you're going to be so successful.
Yeah.
Because you have great income and, yeah. Because I think we should get rid of your credit cards, then tackle your student loans, and then save for an emergency fund while saving for a down payment so you can buy a place.
For life.
For life, yeah.
for adult life.
For adult life. We'll get you to adult life. You can own your own place. Yeah.
And you can do it by yourself. Exciting.
Like you have you can do it by yourself. You have the income where you can achieve all of this with on your own.
Which is huge. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. You're gonna now like friends are gonna invite you out and be like, No. Mm-mm. Can't do that. I have a savings goal.
Be like a hermit.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a
sending SOS signals.
Yeah. And there's always a fine line between, and that's why I like to do things extreme. I'd rather be really extreme for 4 or 5 months and be done with something.
Right.
So like there's a balance between today and tomorrow. Like you're not gonna get your early 30s back, right? So you don't wanna give up everything. But I think the key is figuring out where that balance is so that I think initially I would be extreme, get rid of the credit card debt because that's never going to help. And then that way we can tackle the student loan because we have more back in your budget. But yeah, you're still going to take vacation, still do those things. But figuring out where that line is so that you feel like after 3 or 4 years of working, you have something to show for it and you still enjoyed yourself.
Yes, that is true. That's a direct quote that my dad uses when we discuss.
Oh, really?
What's going on?
Well, so we renamed the podcast Future Rich because it's all about making sure that in the future you're set up and you have those things that you need. Because you're going to work hard regardless, right?
Absolutely.
You're going to be working hard this entire time, so you might as well have stuff to show for it when you get there.
Right.
Because
no, definitely.
You're not going to remember every of the blow dries or all the Ubers, right? Like, I think...
No, definitely will not. But the trips, that is something that you'll remember. But then, you know, when you're not able to take them, you know, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, no, and that's why I think when you sit and you start figuring this out, that saving for a vacation will be much more of a priority. And you're like, oh, it sucks to get up a half an hour earlier to take public transportation. But then that way I can get rid of the debt, save for home, and still take vacation. But I just can't do all the, you can't have everything at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, clearly it's not working. So.
We tried that route. It didn't work. Yeah.
That was a fun 10-year try.
Next. Yeah. I think you'll find this one. And I mean, I'm a budgeting nerd, but I feel like once you get into it, it's like really powerful.
I mean, I don't know how to do an Excel document to save my life, but I mean,
so yeah, I actually I do it in my head. Like I know, okay. and what I do, and like, I've obviously been like a very legitimate budgeter since I was like in high school. But what I do is like
trade lives.
Yeah. My sister has not been a budgeter. One of us got it. One of us didn't, but, yeah, we split it.
At least you got it.
Yeah. Thank goodness. But you know, and I can always send you over. One of our guests gave me a daily Excel spreadsheet and she just tracked everything. So I can send that over to you. Cause I think that's like, if you want to try that, you can try that. You have to figure out what works for you. Just cause it worked for her doesn't mean it'll work for you. And just because I do it in my head doesn't mean you should do it in your head. But I think sitting down and analyzing where your money's going, taking a look at it, just like I go to your credit card, see what the breakdown is. And then I would be conscious of whether you have to take the $250 in cash or I think that's a good way for you to try it out and just see where the money goes.
Yeah, because I think it's like when it's on my card, I just am like, oh, okay.
Swipe.
You know, like I don't even have to really. And then it's sort of an after fact. I'm like, oh my gosh, I dropped $150 yesterday. Like how? did that happen?
Yeah, and once you get in the habit of paying attention to what you're spending money on, and if you know right. in your head you only want to spend $250 in a week and you just spent $100, you're going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah. Right. It will definitely be eye-opening, and then certainly would change habits for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. If you get those habits now, you're going to be so set.
Good. I hope so.
Or you will. I can almost guarantee it.
Start budgeting like a high school you.
Yeah, be like the high school me. Get those $0 days in there, Monique.
Yes, those $0 days will definitely help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up with you and see how this budgeting techniques.
Excellent. Accountability, I love it.
Yeah, we'll make sure that you're doing it.
Good. I appreciate that.
And thank you all for listening to the Planential Podcast. We want to help you get future rich. So if you like the podcast, leave a comment and give us a like, and you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Bye.